This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. In about 3 years' time, a typical family home will contain as many as 500 network devices. From toasters to TVs, toilets to air conditioning units, heck, even your wardrobe and clothes. That's the IoT dream. And it's this rising trend that is forcing businesses to rethink their product design strategies and how it will bring added values to their customers. It's an exciting time ahead for us as consumers, but surreal to some businesses who do not know where to begin. So, do we need a change of design paradigm to meet IoT requirements? And how do we extend the value of products with IoT? And here with me today to explain more is Michael Kidder.
Hi, Jeff. My name is Michael Kidder. I'm Senior Vice President of Corporate Marketing with Altair. Very happy to be with you today.
And Michael, before we start talking about, you know, how IoT devices are going to be the norm, this topic may be redundant in a few years' time because it's just going to be all around us. Let's talk a bit the nature of business of Altair itself. Who are you guys?
Yeah, so we are a global software development company and consulting services company. Been around for 32 years, and our core business has always been around simulation-driven design. So we've developed technology that basically allows you to simulate how a physical product will perform in reality.
For 30 over years now.
Yeah, 30 years.
Wow.
And I've been part of that for 26 years, so I've had the opportunity to watch that kind of grow over that time as well.
How much has changed?
It's been tremendous. Not only in our business, but how our customers are applying technology. So today, you know, simulation actually drives a lot of compute cycles, so we also have a very very large high-performance computing business. And because both of those drive a lot of data, we spend a lot of time with analytics, and that's actually how we got engaged with IoT.
So IoT itself, it comes from, it was born in the cloud dream. A few years ago, we were talking about, you know, how cloud would bring so many types of innovation. IoT is one of it. Machine learning is the other. They all kind of work together. From your perspective, because simulation, it used to be really costly. It used to be something where, you know, companies would never be able to afford unless you're, you know, you're dealing with a life and death kind of situation. You know, airplanes, for example, I would think of, you know, airplanes would go through, you know, numerous simulations, race cars and stuff. Now we're putting simulations into almost every other device because of the surge of IoT?
Actually, because of the surge of cloud computing, for sure. And IoT is a benefactor of that product because really the cloud is what's enabling the Internet of Things. But for sure, the democratization of how software is used today, making it more accessible to end users, as well as the application technology to optimize the performance of structures, and high-performance computing has come down in price as well. You dovetail that with the sophistication of, you know, I'll say the math and the calculus, all the algorithms that go behind.
Magic.
It is kind of magic. And actually, it's really kind of cool for the engineers like us. But it's made it a lot more accessible and a lot more affordable. And it's really driving the design process today.
So with IoT devices will become the norm in the near future. Well, we're just talking the near future. It's about, what, 2020, 3 years from now. How much of this change would bring to our lives from a consumer perspective?
It's going to be huge. I mean, IoT is going to be pervasive through everything that we touch and feel, from the products we use every day in the home to the vehicles that we drive, transportation, and actually how we operate and manage our business as well.
And I'm sure even, you know, we've seen it in certain areas. Autonomous vehicles is one of them. You know, and it's now even trickled down to the transportation industry as well, right?
Sure.
Why would this surge? Because it seems like it's a good dream to have that, you know, every devices are connected to each other. Every machine is just kind of moving and doing its own thing. It's all about being more efficient. It's cost-saving money. Why would businesses, you know, struggle with this dream?
Well, actually, when you think of IoT, really, you kind of look at the evolution of the smart product, right? It's only been with the last decade where we actually moved to like a smart product where vehicles, for example, were, you know, you had Bluetooth connection, wireless connectivity, and then it graduated to cloud, having vehicles cloud-enabled. And now these vehicles are, as an example, are going to be part of a system of systems. So traffic lighting systems, building infrastructure, different vehicles, different systems. So you really need to rethink the whole design process and build that IoT functionality in at the very beginning.
Mm. But we're on that path. You know, we're causing this shift and we're driving it forward. Why do we need to now, like, hold on, let's take a step back and re-engineer the process? Aren't we on the train already?
Well, it's more than just putting, like, sensors on a product. You know, when you think about and going a little bit more into the design of the product itself, before we were worried about the mechanical performance, but now you've got electrical systems, electronic systems, you got control systems. You need to kind of build that all in at the very front end as a system when you're looking at how it's going to work and operate as an IoT device, as well as how you're going to manage and control that device with an IoT platform.
Mm. How much of the engineering side would change with IoT because we're looking at so many areas? We're kind of like simulating the device entire lifespan even before the product is being made here.
You hit the nail on the head there. So it's really transforming that design process with a whole new set of technologies, from model-based design technology for circuit design, control systems, all the way to electromagnetics, because you have to be able to simulate the electromagnetics because they're communicating. You can't have the interference, and they got to be able to communicate with the right devices. Mm. So it's a pretty complex case. So you have to build that in up front and then figure out how that device then is going to connect through a gateway to an IoT platform. And then you have to decide what information is pertinent to your product or to your end user community to do the analytics. Machine learning, AI comes into that play. And then there's a whole new set of applications that are going to be built on top of that as far as how an organization or how a consumer is going to control and operate. And user experience is huge in this space. Mm. So, you know, the way we interact with the products in the future, the whole user interface is going to be completely different. And it's going to provide a lot more flexibility, a lot more excitement to products.
What's the biggest change here? What's the biggest difference? You know, we always talk about, oh, IoT is going to be a big shift. It's going to be a big change. What is that change?
When I think about the change for an IoT-enabled device, and if I'm understanding your question clearly, it's a different way we're going to interact with products. Mm-hmm. And it's going to provide a lot more value not only to a business who may be interested in how our users actually using this product or in our operation plant, how can we be more efficient, but from the end-user perspective, giving that user a lot more – it's like your cell phone, right? You can control your home, you control different apps, you can do different – people want that experience, that interactive control of the things that they work with every day and play with every day.
Mm. Would businesses feel like this is just way too much? You know, you talked about all the blocks that needs to be in place when you're, you know, engineering and IoT devices. This may seem way too much, or it's an overload for a small manufacturer who, you know, never used to think of these things but were creating devices that was just for a sole specific reason. Right. Now it seems like my device has to do a lot more than just that one reason. It has to even to connect and talk to other devices. Would this feel like it's a burden to some businesses that they feel like, oh my God, this is just way too much. I got to have new business arms to be able to look into all these areas. Yeah.
No, actually, I think it opens up a whole new panoramic view of what this product can actually do as it is in service. So I guess the best way to explain that is through an example. So I was just at an IoT conference here about 8 months ago. And a heavy truck manufacturer actually completely censored their fleet of vehicles for different lines that they're bringing to market. And they're transforming their business by offering a service contract for preventative maintenance. So essentially that end consumer has opts in for a service thing and they get notifications, you know, get this repaired or you might want to get this looked at before it actually fails. Mm. But they've also, a byproduct of that, they understand now the use on how end users are using that, and it's offered them an opportunity to look at a whole new product line to better service that customer based on the use patterns for their clients. So you look at geography, you know, a desert or the mountainous conditions, you have a lot more insight as to what the product is doing as it's in service.
Mm. Would this feel like it's not only about cost saving, it is also about, you know, opening up new business areas or business verticals within your sector itself that you are, you know, now able to feed? And I guess it's just at the end of the day, serving your customer better.
That's exactly what it is.
What about the mindset itself that needs to take place in terms of the shift of mindset that we need to understand now with IoT coming into place? We're looking in security aspect. That's a huge part of IoT devices. We've heard about, you know, toasters and baby monitors being hacked, and you are then able to access the entire network itself. For those kind of manufacturers, how would they have to, you know, go through, you know, designing IoT products when there are areas that they are not an expert at?
Well, I think the best way to do that is to rely on a consulting source that is very familiar with it, as well as the technology providers. The other part of that is that when you look at IoT, it's a cloud application. It's a cloud activity, right? And you have to build that security in from the ground up as a cloud native application. So that has to be part of how you address the security part of it. But definitely you want to rely on the expertise of those professionals in the workspace and leverage that talent.
And from Altair itself, how much has the simulation changed now because you have to look into so many areas? Perhaps an example of a product that we've seen so many times, and now with IoT coming to place, is there an example you could talk about how, you know, that IoT is really changing something that we used to take for granted?
Well, actually, we have a great example because, you know, as an engineering consulting company and one that's providing IoT platforms and simulation technology, one of the byproducts out of a project engagement we had was we had patented some LED technology. And so now here in the U.S., we're actually selling LED linear tubes throughout the U.S. through Home Depot, which is a large retailer, over 2,000 stores in the business. So when we originally developed that technology, we did not develop it as an IoT technology. But when you think about LEDs, they're on a circuit board, they're inside of a tube. It's not that hard to put sensors on them and put a wireless connector on it. So we're actually launching a whole new line, which is a connected lighting, which allows you to control room themes, allow you to do energy management control systems. You can even work on security as far as sensors as part of the whole infrastructure for lighting. So it's a really exciting opportunity. So not only the energy savings, but it also affords a lot more usability. And when you think of IoT, that user interaction and how they're actually engaging and leveraging their product becomes very important.
Is this something that we really want in the sense that, you know, we can control everything from, you know, the smartphone itself? Is this something that the consumers dream of? Is this really what we want?
I think so. I think consumers especially, maybe I'll even do that with another example, but I think consumers, especially in this day and age, they love the idea of interacting with products and controlling them and doing, you know, really innovative things. And, you know, I have so many colleagues and friends that have their whole home, you know, all electrified in IoT, right? So they're controlling lights, they're controlling temperature, they're drawing door locks, they see who walks up the door. I mean, it's something that provides a lot of confidence, a lot more control over the things that go on in their home. And I guess a really interesting example, we actually hired a gentleman who heads up our LED lighting business. He actually, right when we hired him, he wasn't home. His grandmother was there. The tube or the hose busted to the washer that was running, completely flooded the basement.
Oh, dear.
Completely flooded the basement. So for 6 months now, he's going to be out of his home. And so he swore that he goes, I'm going to put devices in here to sense dampness and water, right? And so he actually did that in his rental home too. And sure enough, he was away and he got an alert that there was dampness and there was a drip underneath the sink in there. So I think that confidence and that security that comes with IoT, especially in the home, is really valuable to consumers.
Imagine what it would do to a business if you were to find out there's a leakage and stuff in the server room.
In operations, it's absolutely critical.
I'm speaking to Michael Kidder, the Senior Vice President for Corporate Marketing at Altair, talking about designing for the Internet of Things experience. We'll be right back after some messages. BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
And we're back. My name is Jeff Sandhu. With me is Michael Kidder. He's the Senior Vice President for Corporate Marketing. And we're talking about designing IoT devices that create the seamless experience that we've all seen on the big screen. Michael, Barcelona was the world's first smart city. A lot more European cities are following suit. And in America, we see futuristic products already on the market, like Tesla and Google's autonomous vehicles. It seems to be driven a lot by the West. And even when we look here in Asia, it's mainly driven by China. What can organizations and manufacturers in this part of the region do in order to capture this growth at the early stage?
Yeah, that's a really good question, especially in regions and markets where energy costs are really high and that sort of thing. You know, there's a lot of, you've probably heard of smart metering and all that, but building management controls is huge, especially when if I was in a region and had a big skyscraper like we're in here today. The ability to control, you know, temperature and energy and lighting and HVAC and et cetera, that becomes really critical. There's enormous amount of gains to be had there. Matter of fact, we just announced a partnership with a building management controls company called Candy, and basically they're taking our Carriots analytics technology and using that to do that deep analytics study as a complement to their technology to do automated alerts on real-time data to really customize and tune how they manage their building infrastructure. Now you scale it up to a city. This company that we just made this acquisition earlier this year, Carriots out of Madrid, Spain, they had actually worked with Pozuelo City there locally and made their entire city, I'll say, smart. So from, you know, having sensors to tell the people that lived in that city where there's available parking spaces, controlling irrigation and parks, and also controlling traffic lights for congestion as well as for weather. That's all part of the system, and they're reaping some great rewards from that.
And clearly the government has to play a certain role here in allowing this to happen. What are some of the good examples that you have seen throughout globally that we should sort of implement here in Malaysia?
I can speak of a few examples. You know, one in particular, I think there's a terrific opportunity for cooperation between government and education when we look at building out an IoT infrastructure. You know, actually right outside our office in a town called Ann Arbor, there's a university called University of Michigan. They set up a whole mock city environment, if you will, which is to evaluate autonomous vehicles and IoT systems and devices as part of that ecosystem. So there, it's kind of an experimental area, and that's partly, you know, funded, of course, in government partnership as well. But they're so they're inviting different people to come in and try things and how things talk to each other and how things are controlled. And so I think, you know, as a region kind of embarks on it, that's a really terrific opportunity because now you're also building that next generation, you know, engineer and system engineer that's going to be a part of that whole development of IoT in those markets. So I think it's a really exciting opportunity.
And what about talent, Michael? We're redesigning things for the future, and then we've got talks about IoT and machine learning and AI coming into play. Is talent something that we'll need to change? We need to rethink about how we put engineers into their pace, or is that not a worry because the incumbent of AI coming into place and replacing some of these jobs?
No, I don't think it's the case. I think when we think about talent coming into this, I mean, what's interesting is that, historically you had your mechanical engineers, your electrical engineers, your control engineers, your materials engineers, all the way down the road. So you kind of had to pick a flavor, right? Today, when you look at those systems, all those disciplines are combined. So we call that multidisciplinary analysis or design. And so you need to be knowledgeable about how these things all come together and work together. So I think there's an opportunity in education where, they're starting to cultivate this next generation engineer and also that training, that education, and the technology that's used.
And where would simulation be in place in the near future when we seem to have devices who would relay back feedback to the manufacturer itself? How will simulation work in the sense that, simulation was used to do because we would never get that feedback? And now with devices that go into market, it's continuous feedback. That simulation itself, right. That's real-life simulation. What's going to happen to the simulation industry?
I wish I was still doing engineering because it's a super exciting time right now. So you're right. Historically, the whole when you think about product lifecycle management, that basically went up to the point of, you know, concept through design release and when they roll the vehicles or the products off the line and then they went into in service. There's never any insight into what was going on in service except for maybe warranty claims that would come back. Today, that scope of PLM has expanded all the way from concept all the way through in service. And where we're actually focusing now with the combination of our simulation platform as well as our IoT platform is now making that full connection loop, getting that in-service data, which, you know, historically you base your design on, you know, low conditions that you're assumed or maybe past experience or maybe some information from tests. But now with the actual in-service data on how end user actually using that product, now that can feed right back into the digital model. And now you're actually going to do refinements, you can do derivatives, you can do in-service changes for new products. It opens up a whole new field. And I think in addition to that, the volume of data is huge. Mm. So when you think about advanced analytics and machine learning, AI, that all plays a critical role now to better understand what's going on with the product, how users are using that to help draw new insights as to forward product development.
Mm. For IoT devices, it feels like it's the giants who are leading this way, and it's them racing against, you know, being the first to fully implement an IoT device that could talk to every single, you know, connected devices. Is there a worry that smaller businesses who aren't the giants, who are developing these products, would have to choose their path when developing an IoT product because of the lack of framework, you would say, or like a global framework of how IoT devices should be, where, you know, your fridge, even though it's a different manufacturer, would be able to talk to a different manufacturer of a similar device. Would that be an issue where we would have to choose which path of the IoT road that we're going through?
I think for some organizations that have, you know, that very sophisticated infrastructure on how they manage the business, you know, there are going to be those giants that play in that role. But our philosophy as a company is really more open architecture approach, because that's, you know, from our simulation technology to our HPC technology to IoT, we've developed to be open so it can speak with any other product. So whether a customer wants to that turnkey solution, we have the opportunity to provide that to them, or they're looking for that piece of technology they're missing from their software stack for their IoT strategy, we can pull that piece out and support them. So I think it's kind of critical, especially for that SME market, that they invest in an open architecture system that they can build and grow and customize, and then they can make a determination which path they'd like to follow.
I guess if you're thinking about developing IoT products, think of being transparent as possible, because that is the dream in order, you know, to have an open data platform that you could share information, right? Michael, perhaps you could paint us a picture of what the future would look like. And when I say the future, I'm just talking about 3 years from now, the year 2020, because a lot of reports are saying that that's going to change a lot in year 2020. We're going to have, you know, 500 over network devices in our homes. Yeah. Paint us a picture of what we would look like.
Well, I think when we say future, like you said, I think we can only look out so far, right? And I think that we are going to have a lot of connected devices. We're also going to have an enormous amount of data. So I think one of the first steps as we go through here, I think, you know, product manufacturers are going to be looking at, you know, what should we be measuring? How do we monitor this device? What's important to our business? What's important to our customers? And then beyond that, we're probably going to see this ability now say, well, this is what we want to control with the device based on the feedback. And so now we're going to have this information to make corrective actions or improving the performance of product for our customers. And then down the road, we're going to have this whole predictive maintenance, preventative maintenance activity that's going on to support that activity. So I think it's kind of like a walk, you know, jog, run kind of approach as we go down here. But for sure, it's I think people are trying to get their heads around, it's no problem putting sensors on them, but where do you put them? What information are you trying to gather? And then trying to figure out what information is really important to drive our business and what's best for our end users. Mm.
It's very important to understand, you know, you should crawl before you start walking, before you start running, before you go for a marathon in that sense, right?
Because you'll discover things that you, what you thought was important, you may find other things that are more important as you start to investigate that data.
Mm. Yeah. Is it too late for some businesses to jump into this venture because there are, you know, so much movement in the IoT space. Every day seems to be some technologically leap forward in the space. How would businesses be able to play that catch-up role because things are moving so fast?
I think they need to start planning and start investing their time into building IoT into their development strategy right now because they need to understand it, and they also need to understand what's important to their business. So the information that's garnered from IoT, when you think about connecting that to your business systems, your CRM systems, et cetera, you're going to start to formulate your own strategies on what's important to drive your business for success. So you need to start investing now, but you need to make sure that the solution you kind of choose doesn't lock you in if you need to change, or at least allows you the opportunity and the flexibility to take advantage of new technology to develop, because it's going to continue to grow dramatically.
Mm. Yeah. And finally, personally, what is that one technology that you're really looking forward to that it becomes the norm?
That becomes the norm. Wow, that's a loaded question. You know, I am going to say, and not because that's our business, but I think the promise all along, if you think about simulation, computer-aided engineering, it started in you know, the 80s, the late 80s, and through the 90s, algorithms got stronger, yeah. HPC got faster, predictability and the robustness of the solution was great. The opportunity now to connect that digital twin, that virtual model to what really happens in reality, and have that circle feedback loop to continually improve the product. To me, that's what gets like an engineer really excited because you know, most of the time we kind of see it off to this point of manufacture and it goes on production line and out there, but you really don't have any touch with it after. Simulation today now has it plays for that entire product life cycle and an in-service component as well, and so the opportunities for simulation play a role in that bigger picture is quite exciting.
Would the Matrix will be real?
Yeah, it may be coming, sure.
Michael, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Michael Kidder. He's the Senior Vice President for Corporate Marketing at Altair, talking about designing the Internet of Things experience. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.